Call the meeting to order at 7:02 on June the 1st, 2017. We'll take a roll call. Commissioner Franek?
Here.
Commissioner Graham White?
Here.
Commissioner Pritz?
Here.
Chairman Zarowski? Commissioner Reno Ogden? Commissioner Popowitz?
Here.
Commissioner Prestes?
Here.
We do have a quorum, but we'll need a nomination or motion for a chair pro tem to proceed with the meeting.
I nominate Mr. Franek.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Is this where I give the Al Haig speech about being in control? Do you want me to sit up there?
Wherever you'd like.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter to me if it doesn't matter to you, but
I don't care.
However you'd like to proceed.
Well, not anticipating that any of the members of the public will become so rowdy that they'll need to be gaveled, I think I'll sit where I am.
just the same.
So noticed. Okay, is there any public testimony?
Jan Sager, 435 William. First of all, thank you to Commissioner Popowitz for another wonderful presentation of our historic buildings that he gave at the library a couple weeks ago. Another full house, which was really, really encouraging. So I guess it doesn't matter if it's a Sunday afternoon or a Monday evening. And I hope, Al, you said it's it's time-consuming to do this, and it's hard work, but I hope you can do this, a couple times a year, because there's obviously a lot of interest in our buildings.
I'm available.
Good. Last night, over at Lincoln School at the old Harlem School, there was a presentation of the Washington School Art Deco bas-relief panel. The two were saved before the school was demolished, and so one was it's sitting in that garden area right in front of Harlem School. It looks beautiful, and so they had a nice little presentation. There were about 20 people there, some village people and residents. The other one at some point will be put somewhere. They're thinking about Washington Park. And then the question kind of was, how do you protect these two things? Should they maybe be locally landmarked at some point, 20 years down the road? Right now, I guess it's a joint effort, the village and District 90. But 20 years from now, who knows? That culture might change. So it might become something to keep in mind. I see that the map, River Forest Historic Homes, is coming along, and that's very exciting. So I looked through there, and of course me with my editor's eye, I found some catches. And so if you want to wait until you get to that part of the agenda, and you may already have covered those things, rather than me listing them now.
Either way. I don't know.
It is most of the meeting. There's not right. much else to be okay. covered, so maybe just in a few minutes here, we'll get right back to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can wait. You may already have the catches.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly take edits from all, so.
Okay.
Thanks for looking at it, though.
Sure. Oh, it's really cool. I like looking at this. and that's it for now, for today. Thank you.
Bill?
I'm Bill McDonald from 803 Bonnie Bray, and I just want to echo what Jan said about Commissioner Popowitz's presentation. It was a delightful presentation, and I think we got you hooked now, Al, because I believe you mentioned there are 270-some historic properties. You only covered about a dozen, so I think we've got you in perpetuity now for your presentations, do we not, since you can only handle a dozen at a time? But thanks very much for an excellent presentation.
Very kind. Thank you.
Thanks, Al. It clearly takes time, and it's certainly much appreciated. Okay. Moving on to the next item, the approval of meeting minutes for April 27th, the last meeting. Are there any comments as to revisions and accuracies, et cetera, et cetera?
Nope.
Seeing none, do I hear a motion to approve?
So move.
Do I hear a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries unanimously. Next, consideration of the property modifications and applications for certificate of appropriateness.
None were received. I would note, though, that kind of over a long period of time now, Commissioner Randall Ogden, on behalf of the Window Review Subcommittee, has worked with the pump house to get, I think, 2 years ago, they did the first story windows. They now need to do the second story windows. Wow. And so they've gotten that project squared away.
Wow.
Okay.
Review of ongoing commissioner assignments. Rather than point the finger at individual people and say, what have you been doing? Does anyone have anything to report in terms of what they have done since our last meeting?
Yes. I'd just like to report in terms of properties. 606 Keystone is contingent. Mm-hmm. 1103 Keystone, that is pending. That's the Butler House.
Okay.
And the Frank Lloyd Wright, across the street from you, is also contingent. So that's three important properties.
Oh, yeah.
Sold.
Good. Anything else? Okay. Discussion regarding the preservation map. And hopefully everyone's had a chance to see the latest and the greatest.
I'm sure everyone does have the copies of those too. Yeah. As you saw, I sent one out today. I received four more submissions this afternoon, so I now have the completed copies. I'll circulate these just for everyone's reference, but I'm sure you have notes too. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Same as
like
sent around by email
this afternoon.
Yeah. I've got one.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Just change it.
Okay. Let's go through these and see if people have any thoughts. Property one, the Davenport House. Any. Any comments, proposed revisions, issues, etc.? Seeing or hearing none. Two, the Women's Club.
The only comment I'd like to make on that is that the image is simply too dark. And I've already made an offer. I don't know how to do it, but I know there are people here who do. But there are about seven images here, which I consider to be too dark, and I do have lighted views of them. And I'd be willing, if someone knew how to do it, to take the image off of one of my programs and then put it into the map. I don't know how to do that. But if someone could do that, I'd be more than welcome. And then no one has to go around at least those seven and take images of them. The problem in taking pictures of these buildings, of course, you've got to catch them with the light.
Yep.
And you've got to be there at the time. And there are some that are, that, you know, you have to face the sunlight because the sunlight gives the image color and life and of vivacity. And so that's why, as I say, there are seven that I thought I could make contributions to if someone knew how to copy my images and put them on wherever they want it. I can't do it, but if someone else can, they're welcome to
it. So when you say that they're, what are they on? What program are they in? Or?
I have them in a PowerPoint program.
Oh, okay.
But
can you just email the PowerPoint?
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. I'm sorry. You're talking to an old guy.
That's okay. He's not here, so I don't want to speak for him right now, but twice before, Commissioner Randall Ogden has offered to take pictures for this purpose.
Right.
and citing the lighting as one of the issues.
Right.
So that might make some sense, too. I'd say let's check in with that. I can always get them off the PowerPoint if need be. You could come on over, and I can take care of that. But maybe for uniformity and quality and style of the pictures, it might make sense to have them all taken.
I just thought I'd relieve him of having to time it and get over there and take the shot if he could use it.
If need be, yeah. If we can absolutely get him off the PowerPoint if need be.
Is the present point that we don't need to evaluate the images today because these aren't the images we're committed to using in the map?
Okay, fine.
If that's right, we can just kind of ignore the images.
Right, let's do it.
Yeah,
okay.
There's got to be some plan for images, but...
Okay, today we're just talking about text.
Al, do you want to give us the seven by address?
And they're these images here are numbered. Number two, I think I can improve on that. Number three, number seven. Just a moment. I'll check them off here. Number 19, number 20, 23, 30. And the others I don't have images of, or they're excellent shots.
Okay.
So
2, 3, 7, 20, 23, and 30.
I don't know.
2, 7, 19, 20, 23, and 30.
Okay. Okay, so now we'll just consider a text then.
Okay.
Okay.
You could tell that these were written by different people, so I was wondering if there was any effort that wanted to be made to kind of centralize or to formalize a style or to, that's not the right word, but to normalize a style between the different opportunities, or do we just want to leave them like this? Or
I strongly favor trying to get have some coherence to the voice. It's not to say that every description needs to be super cookie cutter where it starts with the name. I do think they ought not to be apples and oranges, not only with respect to the voice, but also with respect to the length. I had it in my head that we had landed on 25 words as kind of an upper limit, and I didn't make any effort to review the record.
I think where we landed was 25 words was the goal, 50 was the limit.
So we have some that are almost 100,
and
others that are 50. You know, I'd hate to give the unintentional appearance that certain properties are of greater, that there's more important things to say about certain properties just by happenstance because some people were a little wordier. You know, I know for one, I purposely kept them super short and sweet. So we might want to try to standardize the length a little more, or if we're going to say more, do it purposefully. Like, I guess someone might say, no, for this one, we've got to have one that's longer than the rest. Fine. So that's a long way of saying my view is that we ought to try to standardize length and voice.
So I agree.
That
said exactly what I was trying to say, right?
Okay.
I think we should have some of these reduced in the number of words or standardized at least on length. Maybe some of them need to get longer. But I do prefer kind of a little shorter style, just stating it. And I think that, if we could just sort of figure out what's important, right?
One of my
some historical fact or something like that should go into each thing. Why is it significant?
When I was writing mine, and I tried to keep them 50 or less. I think one of them went over, it was like 51 words. And I was trying to think as I wrote, who is my audience?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming most of the audience is the general public, children, maybe, you know, walking over with a group from Roosevelt Lincoln School. And I've always found that when writing something or teaching something, if you give an interesting fact about the whatever you're talking about, whether it's the house or whatever subject you're talking about, that kind of sticks in the person's mind rather than it being, you know, this is a, you know, great example of prairie school architecture if you get into that. So, you know, just something a little less into the architectural style, something a little bit more pertinent or more, I'll use the word personal to the home or house. That's how I thought.
I mean, to me, that raises a pretty big question because it is fundamentally changes or guides the nature of the descriptions. Because, you know, because I didn't have that in mind at all. Now, that's not to say, Carla, that you're wrong or that I disagree. I don't even know what my view is. But certainly, I thought of it more as with a little more of an architectural bent. And I'm no architect, but, you know, I tended to describe things like, well, this is a great example of late prairie school, or this is an interesting combination of, you know, a masonry building and a blah, 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 that sort of thing. So if it would be good. I mean, maybe we need to noodle on it more as a group, but it would be good to figure out if that's the direction we want to go.
Well, I put that in there also, because I wrote this, the Women's Club, an excellent example of non-residential prairie school structure. And then I also said the stage, you know, about the stage inside and the fact that the club established the River Forest Public Library. What was the River Forest Women's Club? Why is it here? You know, the River Forest Public Library, Drummond also designed that. So it's a little, so it makes more of a connection in terms of the village. Yeah, so that's what I thought.
So the approach that I took was I looked on the internet for discussions of the house. And what I then did was tried to figure out, not what I thought was interesting, but what the architects repeated, right? So, because a lot of times they were architectural, they're architects who were writing the critiques. And if I saw a concept being repeated, I thought, okay, this is important in the minds of a broad class of architects. And then I picked it up and put it into the description, right? And so it ignored the audience in the sense that I wasn't trying to sit there and thinking, would this be interesting to a kid or to an adult or to an amateur architect? Instead, I came at it from a perspective of what do people who know the building consider to be significant, right? And that was now some of these buildings, you know, you're pulling articles from 1935 out of Google Books, right? I mean, it's you just couldn't find a lot of them. In that case, my descriptions were just shorter. But some of these guys would go on and on and on. Right?
I would agree with Carla, and I'm probably the author of the two longest. and surprise, surprise. In terms of, for instance, the Accardo home, I think that house, other than saying it's a massive Tudor, I think we would be greatly remiss if we didn't indicate the most famous resident and why he was the most famous resident, because he's probably, you know, unless one is a huge fan of recent radio personalities, he's probably the most famous person who have lived in the village outside of William Drummond. I think you need to talk about that, and I think personalizing it for a greater audience as opposed to designed by this architect and blank date, this is a great Tudor. Okay, that's about 22 words or whatever. I think you got to do more than that. Similarly, with the Thatcher home, the Solomon Thatcher house, which is number 24, the reason why that's lengthy is I wanted to get out a very simple point. That's on our block, and when we moved here in 1999, that was covered with white stucco. It had several large 10 or 12 foot long butterflies appended to the sides, and it looked dramatically different than it does now. And in fact, when the current owners wanted to take it back, a number of restoration contractors refused to touch it because they didn't think they'd be able to remove the stucco without totally destroying the brick. Mm. And what these people were able to do is they were able to really take it back to largely what it had been with a couple of changes. It doesn't have a large cupola on top with as a bell tower, but it's got a lot of the other things. They put the front porch back. So what it shows is you can take something that was dramatically different for much of its tenure, and you can actually return it successfully to what it had been. And I think that's important to show that to people.
But if we're going to stick to like this 50 words, right, or less, I agree that we can say Tony Accardo, you know, the house of Tony Accardo, and we can say that in 10 words, right? But a story like it was restored, I don't know if we can get that into 50 words and still carry the significance of the house, right? I mean, I'm not arguing that we should just say architect and date and style, you know, but if this is an early Frank Lloyd Wright, like Art the Arthur developed Davenport House is, right, and it's one of his first prairie-style designs, and, you know, it starts to take up space in the description, right? So the question is, what do we want to prioritize? I think that's what I'm asking. And I think I prefer to have facts in there, or my preference would be to have facts in there that will interest people, but to make sure that if these are historic homes, people know why they're historically important. And I think the historical importance comes from the architectural features. And I think that gives us latitude to kind of leverage that, too. I mean, Oak Park is made of a cottage industry of the fact that that's Frank Lloyd Wright's home. Yeah. Right? Why shouldn't we, you know, get some benefit of that? Why shouldn't people be just as interested in these houses? Some of these houses surpass what's over in Oak Park, right? That's my perspective.
I guess what I would say is, in using the Accardo House as an example, other than the fact that it's a massive Tudor, you probably wouldn't call that out.
Yeah,
and it's probably on the list because of its association.
No
with
argument
Tony Accardo.
No argument with that at all. But if it's a historic home that, like, is a Frank Lloyd Wright, right? There's probably tons of interesting stories, like how the women's club got turned from a women's club into a private residence. I thought that was really interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I think the fact is the style of the house is dramatic. And it also raises the question, which is we have these exterior pictures, but like there are some stunning pictures of the women's club house interior. And I, mm-hmm. you know, is it are we determined to only stick to outside photos, or do we want to include some of those?
I think that's a real slippery slope because our jurisdiction is only on the exterior.
And
I think once you start talking about doing anything or showing any portion of the interior, you might get a lot of pushback, which would be, in the long run, not what we're looking at is in terms of the idea.
But if we're going to make a point like it's got a stage, that stage is a very interesting eating area.
Yeah, but also
look at the photos, right?
Yeah, but you also have people living there. You are essentially invading people's privacy.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't object to asking them if they.
Someone knocking on the door saying, "Hi, I'd like to see the stage."
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Winslow House. Hey, when you walk in, there's this amazing screen, ingle, nook, this whole thing, which is the original, and it's been lovingly restored. It's never been repainted. We'd love to see it. Nah.
Well, then does that raise a question, like in the description, should we refer to the fact that it's got the stage still in there? Because whether the picture's there or not, it invites somebody to knock on the door and say, yeah, I understand there's a stage in your house.
Well, I think we make it pretty clear that, you know, these are most of these are private residences. You know, please respect privacy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but
I mean, that's
photo would still flow. Yeah. So, I think some of these houses on the inside are dramatic, and they're part of what makes them historically interesting.
On the issue of length, I think we can probably have our cake and eat it too. I think we do need to keep. I think we're going to find, as a matter of boring implementation and the need for standardization, that we have to stick to some length, what a maximum and target length, whatever it is. But I'm also convinced that we can make the sorts of points David's describing within those confines, even if it means some editing, you know, for length or to delete adverbs or, you know, whatever else.
Well, I guess then the comments are probably, maybe I can suggest the following and see what the commission thinks. Maybe then it is appropriate to figure out what we want to do in terms of length and in terms of voice. Then perhaps one of us will take on the drafting so that it's got one voice. Or editing, to be more precise, and then bring it back to the next meeting, and we can all take a look and see what we think, as opposed to going through individual comments. But I think the one thing we need to figure out is, what do we want? Is there one just in terms of eyeballing it length-wise that you would say, this is kind of the target, this is as far as we want to go?
To me, that's a very hard question to answer in the abstract because it turns on the layout, and I see we're busting that out right now. But, I mean, it depends a little bit on just what the format will bear. You know what I mean? So what looks like an appropriate length here and times 9-point full justified might be screwy when we dump it into some, if we're saying this is what we're doing. You know, we've obviously got 2-inch columns.
It's almost more the space than the word count. So right. We just gotta, you know, you're kind of anticipating. And as we've noted before, I mean, I'm sure a graphic designer can make just about anything work.
But word count, space, and font determine word count, right?
Sure.
So they can't make anything work. They can make it work, but it's going to be like if it's a leaf 8, yeah, no one's going to be able to read it.
Yeah. I mean, these look like they top out at around 50 words. You know, beyond that, the text starts to get deeper than the photo itself, and obviously that'll get, so if you imagine lining up the photos in sort of a symmetrical way with equal spacing between them, then the real estate you have is really the real estate next to each photo, and you do need to build in some white space or it's going to look crappy, but you can see how this starts to look a little yucky down here where it kind of bleeds together just because you got a long one and another long one. But
Just to also note in terms of this, I think there's 25-ish homes there. There's less homes in this than are proposed in ours. And then additionally, we are proposing additional information in ours that's not in theirs, such as listing by architect. Just, again.
Plus the map.
Well, the map's on the inside.
Is that pulled out again?
Yes, it does. So it opens up, and then the map is on the inside. So, I mean, depending on quite how you lay it out. But
these top out, I mean, you know, quick sample, but they seem to top out at about 50. And then some of them are as short as, you know, 110-ish.
Well, I think we should, I've heard 50 a couple times now. I think we should try to put an upper limit on 50. And then when we start to work with the design, they'll tell us it's too many words and if we have to cut down or whatever. But I did note some of these ghosts have no longer than 50, right? So I'm just saying it would be nice if maybe as a first pass. And then do we have like, is one of these favorite, you know, does anyone have like favorites among these? I mean, I think some of these descriptions are extremely good. And that could almost be a template for how we consider or what we consider.
I would just note quickly, since I've looked at them all and read them all. Some do go well beyond 50, but many are much shorter.
Yeah.
Many are in the 15 to 25 range. So, and maybe that's okay
that's
too.
Okay. I'm just saying, first thing we ought to do is put an upper limit on it and stick to that. But the second thing I think we should do is, again, ask the question is, do any of these stand out for being extremely well written? And therefore, they might become a template for, you know, the kind of things that we would want to do with the rest, or they might become a guideline.
And maybe, too, just, again, trying to, sum up some of the other conversation we're hearing, it could have some elements to it where, you know, it kind of checks the box on architectural significance, maybe history,
See, I really liked 7, but that was also a style that independently I was striving for. I don't know who wrote 7, but it's nice. It tells you exactly, you know, hey, this is a split level, great information. You know, it's his most significant prairie house in River Forest, and then why? You know, the features of a mature prairie house are low hip roofs, broad right knees, continuous panes of windows, overall office on kind of the horizontal line. It gives a really nice, concise who built it, why it's important, you know, and what aspects stand out versus maybe other styles of houses.
Might be a little more. That's an interesting story. That house that was built by Wright for Isabel was his secretary and also the first woman architect in Illinois, remodeled by Drummond and re-brought back by Wright to what he wanted it to be. So there's that's a
I'll see that 50 words right there, though.
But even that remodel by Drummond, 1900. So remodel by Wright again, 1900. It's just been fun. I guess my thing is holding a picture worth 1,000 words for me. So to see the picture of a Novi architect and the date tells a lot in its own right there. And a fun fact about something that happened here or a neat story about it, just icing on the cake, that tells someone something they didn't know.
Oh, did you write the Isabel Roberts house?
No.
Oh, I'm just wondering because...
Who wrote that?
Because they left out the tree.
Which is no longer there.
I know.
Actually, there's a sprout growing out of the stump that's still there now. So.
Oh, maybe I wrote that. Let's see.
Nice.
It sounds like...
Coming back.
Which number is that?
Number 7.
Number 7.
Yeah, that's the tree's gone.
The tree's gone.
No, I did not write
Tom
this
wrote
one.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is on the tree.
Who wrote that? I'm sorry.
It's Jim Jones.
Well, then that would kind of indicate that the chairman likes.
He's an architect.
What his opinion would be were he here. Well, so what I would propose is that we pick somebody who tries to normalize the style to something that is like number 7, but where the house has an interesting historical fact, you know, because I do think that those are interesting. We'll try to make sure that gets included. And then, you know, I think we just suggested that, which is have somebody go through this, try to normalize to that, and then we have something to maybe take a step further along.
I also think it can be tell me if you disagree, but I think it can be a light normalization. I mean, I don't think anyone's suggesting that you literally have to have like a Mad Libs or whatever it is. It's probably more of looking for outliers that for one reason or another are written in a totally different voice than it is trying to make each one read the same.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's the same thing on the length too. I mean, I think really there are maybe a couple outliers that we might want to consider shrinking a little bit, but I think we've already made probably way more of that than it is because it's hardly any of them.
Yeah.
Well, there's one that I wrote that, in retrospect, I think could be greatly. Where is it? Shoot. Oh, well. Very long. Yeah, here it is, number 24. I think that could be condensed. There's too much there. I recognize it now. The first sentence is certainly good, but after that, I think the rest should be removed and probably rewritten.
24.
There's too much in for 24.
Yeah,
there's too much.
That's okay. I wrote 24.
Well, did you?
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
That's okay.
I wouldn't say it. That's okay, Al. It sounded
that's
like
okay,
something
Al.
I would write.
I have no problem.
I apologize.
I take no offense.
Well, the first sentence.
Okay. I take no offense.
You can't say anything here without getting in trouble. Okay, forget it.
I take no offense.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy, how to stick your foot in it. No.
I mean, I do favor someone taking the pen, reviewing it, doing the tasks that we described, and perhaps in addition, I don't know if we're allowed to set up this process consistent with like the Open Government Act or something, but find some way that anybody else who reads them who says, gee, you know, I read through them and this one's missing this and this one's missing that and this is wrong, that they feed that stuff. I don't know if it has to go through, up, and then back down, but that they feed that stuff to the person with the pen so that we can come back next month and anybody who had anything that they said ought to have been in there and isn't, or is in there and ought not to be, or is in there is wrong and needs to be fixed, can all be fixed. It's not that big of a document.
Two is okay. more than two's not okay,
yeah.
right? That's the simplest way of putting it. So okay. certainly,
so people
for example,
individually yeah,
just feed it to John. Feed it to John and he can send it out.
Either way, right? So you could send it to me, I could send it to that person, or you could send it directly to that person. That's okay as long as it's just the two of
yep.
you. You just can't,
yeah.
like we've talked about before, like replying all would not be okay. So,
sure. So someone could just, if we give someone the pen, that person can also be the recipient of any input that anybody else wants to give over the course of the month, and then they can use their editorial discretion to incorporate that input.
Yep. Directly or through me, either way.
Writing a brief.
I certainly have a library of books at the office that I could find out little tidbits about some of these homes and send those to you. To send, I think Dave's volunteering to take his pen to him for the renewal.
No.
Somebody with some journalistic skills. Mm. We have to give it a voice. So.
I'm most junior, so if nobody wants the job, it probably rolls downhill to me. But if somebody wants the job, I wouldn't argue.
So what you
mean? Well, Tom did a really nice job on that one.
And he's not here. I mean, isn't that the way it works? If you're not here, you get the job.
I mean, ultimately, I think what it boils down to is the question is, if you want to emphasize the architectural stuff, I think the pithiest architectural descriptions come from architects.
I think we have the room to do both.
Even with
25 words, never mind 40. You can say the piece about this is a wonderful example of Lake Prairie School, blah, 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 and also fit in, the attic used to be a ballroom. I mean, there's enough room to do both, I think. So I don't think it's kind of really an either-or.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think that's humanizing it because it's something somebody doesn't know. I think that's great.
Given that, perhaps it could have both perspectives, one of... like you said, somebody with journalistic skills and one with architectural skills, could go through one edit through one person first and then the second person next, maybe.
Yes.
Well, I think let's get to a first edit. So let's just decide who should do the edit first. Who should take that on first?
Well, since you volunteered...
I'm fine, or Ron is fine because he's an architect.
Right.
Anything, either way works for me. And I do have the time.
Okay.
Right now, I just finished a big project, and the next one is starts in like a week and a half, so I do have time to turn around the draft. And
great.
I don't know what Ron's schedule is.
Fine. Good.
And then I do it.
Okay. It's fine.
So what you sent earlier was a Word document, right? The one you sent earlier today. Is that a Word document?
Mm-hmm. It was a PDF.
I have both.
Yeah, would you send me the Word document?
Absolutely.
And am I allowed, after I edit it, to distribute it to all the members?
Send it to
you'd want to send it back to
yeah.
me.
And you'll distribute
it.
Okay.
I know it's good, but...
Do you want to have Chairman Zarowski take a look at it before it gets distributed, maybe just as a check?
Happy to do that as well.
Okay.
I don't know what his travel timeline looks like, but...
Yeah.
I think
he's back
pretty
soon.
I think he's back very soon. Let me sort of ask a sort of related question. We all wind up, we're all required to take training in the Open Meetings Act. Have you gone through that lovely exercise, Michael?
I have.
Okay.
I have.
Yeah.
What stuck and what didn't stick are different questions. What should have stuck and what didn't stick are, I think, separate questions.
Two is fine. More than two doesn't work because it's a majority of a quorum.
Yeah, that stuff, yeah.
Did we get the day on the Seth Rhodes house? That's...
I have some catches. That was one of them.
Yeah. I just went through it. I got some more.
What number is there?
That was 24.
Six?
Yes, six.
I got 1918 out of the database.
Okay.
Oh,
1918.
Okay. Wow. And I'm trying to think which one it was that I did. Which I got date out of the 727 Keystone, which in Jeanette Fields has it as 1915. The database has it as 1909. And I think the 1915 is probably the correct date just because it was.
Which number?
Which number? 18.
Number six
18.
Van Bergen House, we think, is 1918.
No, it's the 727 Keystone. I don't know if it's Seth Rose.
Just two different houses.
No, yeah. That one we think is.
Jan, on 719, what, you pulled 1918
in
the database?
Yeah, number six I'm showing is
1918. Okay.
Number six.
And then 1918.
And then what? And this is the Pellet House, 727 Keystone.
What number?
18.
18.
And I think when I sent it to you, I sent both dates, but it's just.
What do you think of this?
I think it's 1915, but in the database it's 1909.
Huh.
But I know there are some of those dates in there.
Yeah, when I went through this, I used Jennifer Fields' book.
So did I. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
New cover.
New cover. Is that the original, the first one? What's the date on that one?
Different cover. It's probably the original.
Yeah.
The one I have.
You can get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
I think that's where I got mine on Amazon.
I'm going to look into, there's a couple services. I tried to photocopy it and just wouldn't the binding. A couple services are using. I'm looking to try and get a PDF of it just to have a permanent record in case someone wants. Certainly not with intentions for copyright, but just in case I'm only them down to uniform.
One of the things, by the way, it's probably already known, but it's better to get it out because I noticed, I don't know if this is just serendipity or not, but I noticed 18, it's got two street addresses. I don't know if the second one's a typo. It's got 527, it's supposed to 727. The village renumbered all of the homes in like the early 20s, and they're all about two blocks different. So if you look at Jeanette Fields' guide, you have both the current number as well as the prior street number. It's like
that.
Gregorian versus Georgian calendars.
Didn't see that. What's the current address?
The current 727.
Oh.
That's correct. I just noticed under it says CS Pellet House,
yeah.
527. Okay.
Is the William Hatch House, is that Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sold.
It's 309.
On that side of the street, it would be an even number.
It's different in the documents, and the lot is numbered differently on some of the zoning maps, like both.
It should be an even number.
It should be even on the west side.
306. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Okay.
Jill?
Charles A. Purcell. But in the text that says designed by William Gray Purcell, his father was Charles Purcell. So, but in the heading it says Charles A. Purcell. I'm thinking that in the heading is the address, the architect that moved, and the name of the first house.
Oh, I see.
So
The architect's name should be
William. Yeah, should be William Gray Purcell.
So is it William or
should be William?
And just as a note too, right now the material, I guess maybe I could have made this more clear, the material up top above the picture in bold is just for our reference. The material below the picture is what we're considering printing.
Ah.
Right now, that material that we're considering printing doesn't have a line for the architect, as we talked about in the format from the Maywood map and kind of what we sent out. So, again, can be changed if we wish, but that's kind of how it's set up right now.
Okay, so I guess the question is the William Gray Purcell name, is that correct? As opposed to, since you're saying you're not using what's above the picture.
So below the picture is right. This is the Charles Purcell House designed by William Gray Purcell.
Okay. And then,
you caught number 17 Butler Baker, I guess it's Butler. Somebody highlighted that.
They were just different.
I think it's Butler.
I meant to go back and try to check the database, and I did. Okay. So I'm not sure what expertise they really might do.
And then number 22, this we had a go around with Al's Popowitz's presentation. It's J. Kibben. No S.
Ingalls.
Uh-huh. So,
right
now
he's
plural.
22. No S?
Plural.
No
J.
S.
Kibben.
Okay.
Kibben.
Okay. You spell Ingalls like it is below the house or like it is above the house?
Yeah. I think it's above.
So Jeanette Field says,
so there's an element of truth to each of the descriptions.
Yeah.
The top has the last name right and the bottom has the middle name right.
Well, Ingalls, I've seen spelled both ways online, and I've also seen Kibben spelled with an O and an E.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure it's Ingalls.
Well, Jeanette Field says it's A-L-L-S.
Okay.
Yeah. This is important stuff to get right, so.
Yeah.
We don't want to be part of perpetuating crappy information. That's a disservice.
False.
Alternative facts.
You know, I mean,
what was proper? I've got this compendium that's two L's and an S.
Yeah, two L's is an S, we believe.
A-L-S.
Yeah.
That book. Jeanette Field's book has two L's and an S, but it also has Kibben.
Without an S. Yeah. K-I-B-B-E-N is the.
Rather
so I don't know what we want to reference in the Bible.
Yeah.
The only other thing I could do, I could search through the geofile, but I'm not sure that like an unofficial name for a book like that may not be present.
This book has E-N.
So does Jeanette.
What is the trust?
I think the solution here for anything like this is to triangulate by looking at a couple reputable resources and seeing if they agree.
I'm just looking at that, and I think the name of the architect, who is also the current owner, is Tilton and not Tilston?
Yes. Yeah, I think it was Tilton.
T-I-L-T-O-N.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Which number are you in now?
That's 22. 22. The Ingalls House.
Yes.
So that should be carefully.
Yep.
Let me get this.
There was a question mark, somebody said, number 29 in the library, they said, not in the survey.
I put that there just to note it.
For
the time being.
I think I have the answer to that. In the searchable database, you have to type in 729-735.
Interesting.
Just type in 735, it will say it's not. So, I guess 729-735.
It's two lots, maybe. Okay.
Well, it's a little hard there. But the database, I mean, do you want to change the database or do you want to change the map? So if somebody would like to search the database, they're going to have to do it.
So the database search engine is looking for a complete match only.
Yes. Yeah, it's not intuitive at all. You can't get 729, but yeah, it's going to be exactly there. Okay. And then I guess my other note doesn't matter since two of these properties are on the National Register. And on number three, you've got it first. And then on number eight, you've got it below. So I guess, when somebody gets into this continuity and style, you have to pick one. You know, you put it bottom.
Actually, I think the Hatch House is also on the National Register.
Which one, Dave?
Hatch. I'm looking for the number.
Yeah.
Laurel's House. 27.
So, I guess for continuity, you want to...
It says it in the description.
Oh, sure. So you got three choices.
This brings up a question, I just don't know because I guess meetings in a row. Are we putting everything that's in River Forest that's on the National Register of Historic Places in the map? Because the house at the intersection of Oak Avenue yes. and Bonnie Bray, I think it's the F.A. or F.H. Bell House, is on the National Register of Historic Places. And I saw Commissioner Zarowski before I just meeting, two meetings back, and I indicated, because the question came up in the last time I was at a meeting, I thought that was on the National Register of Historic Places, and he thought it might have been a state registration or whatever. But they have a plaque on the front of the house. It is in a prairie style. I forget the address off the top of my head. It's got a name.
The one there, just a Quicken and Bonnie Bray. John, you sent an email.
Sent Oak and Bonnie Bray. A
while ago, and it was something about state and national historic places, and it actually had a listing, because we link in it, that listed every place in the state of Illinois that is on the National Register.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And I can't, I mean, it's within
on,
the past
if
month
you go
or so.
Online, there's a link to the National Register and you can search by location.
Yeah.
But I think the question is, do we want to include every house?
No, I understand. I'm just
the question is whether that house is actually, I'm is on
if it's not, they've got a plaque on their front door.
What do you think the name of it might be?
The FH or FA Bell? You know, I stopped at
picture.
It's 7314
Oak. 7314
Oak?
Yeah, it's Oak Bonnie Bray. It's in the corner there. And it's a very, it looks very much like a Frank Lloyd Wright house. And, you know, no, it's not.
Which
no.
that
yeah,
looks like one there. That's the
7314
Oak. I think that house was redone. I mean, that was a small, not really a prairie school house until about maybe 15 years ago. Is that on the north side of the street? Is that on the north side? Is that on the north side of the street?
On the north side of the street.
Yeah,
at least the last 20 years, it's been in that style.
Yeah, well, I would say 15. I've been here since 31 years, and that was that was a big addition put on. I don't think that is.
That's the one they're referring to. That's come up in our database. Is the architect of that?
I'm looking at the list that I think Carl was referring to, which is the list of significant homes in Illinois.
Yeah.
Nationally significant homes in Illinois.
We have four. We have four number four, you said?
Yes, that's it. No, three.
Three.
Three, yes, I'm sorry.
I'd be very surprised if that's on the national.
7314
Oak.
Yeah, me 2 years ago.
That must have been right after.
Half that
house is an addition.
I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do know that it's as I said, it's on the National Register of Historic Places for a reason.
But I don't think that's a significant house in River Forest.
Which it is.
What number? What's the number?
7314 Oak. I don't think it's in the
survey. It's not in our survey?
In
the survey, what's it?
Jan, do you have the you have the Fields book. Is that in the Fields book? 7314?
Yes, it is. It's F.H. Bell House, number 63.
Who's the architect?
I'll let you know in a minute.
Mahler.
know what? Here's a picture that proves everything you're saying. Does that look a lot smaller?
Yeah.
See, but how did it get a national register?
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They did, you know, they doubled the size of that. You say 20 years ago, because I was in it then when it was on the market. So it's got to be like more than 20 years ago.
It's a beautiful house.
It's a gorgeous house.
I went by
it. Yeah, it looks nice.
It's called
Laurel.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Hmm.
There it is. It's much bigger. It's gorgeous. But they extended out here. I mean, it's seamless.
But was owned by FH.
Well, I may propose this. I think we should discuss the question of whether or not everything on the National Historic Register in Oak Park should be at least considered. So what I would propose is that we do more research on the house because we have opinions on it. But why don't we just find out?
And I would love to know when that was put on because, obviously that is not the house that is there. In that photo, that house was really expanded.
Can I get a picture? Can I take a picture of that?
I'm sure the Historical Society is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Beautiful house. So when I'm editing, should I take a look at the house? I guess I'm looking for opinions on this.
If it's National Register, I'd like to know about it, but I'm curious.
I'll just research it, and I won't add it to the list, but I'll include information on it and what I just did.
What does it say in the River Forest survey about it?
Oh, in the survey?
Yeah.
I've just got the little.
Banding, art glass, prairie style, stucco, all that good stuff. Mahler reportedly worked for Hollowbird and Roche and lived in Oak Park and later on Thatcher Avenue. The house was commissioned by Oak Park George Edwards for his daughter and son-in-law. It notes here the fields, proposed as a resource. That's about it. An excellent example of a Grand Prairie style house by someone not in Wright's inner circle. It was reportedly Mahler's only Prairie style house.
It wasn't very grand.
Presently grand.
Almost 21st century.
Currently grand.
And then I have one more question or observation. At some point, sequencing. Right now, these houses are all over the map, so to speak. And so I don't know what your... I mean, if you go through these, well, like the Jeanette Fields, it's pretty sequential. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find one, you can find two in the area of one, you can find three, four, five, six, seven. Whereas right now, your list... I guess the sequence would... You know, it's up to you. Do you want one and two and three and four and five and six? Or do you want them in order? Or do you want them by architect? Or do you want them by... But I'm sure probably when you get to start putting the map together, it'll kind of come to you.
Yeah. I know the field is done...
Yeah, right. Yeah, sequence by location.
The field is done by street, starting with...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good
starting
point.
West and then moving east.
Right.
But then she's got them grouped by architect. In the back.
These currently are grouped in declining numbers like the survey is, and then in streets alphabetically, just for my sanity. But certainly, streets west to east, north to south, whatever could work.
But who's going to use this? We hope it'll be visitors to our community.
Yeah.
And therefore, if they're going to use it, therefore, those that are together, mm-hmm. close to each other, which mm-hmm. they should be in the map together,
yep.
so that people can find an easy way to see them. So that's a good idea. That had never occurred to me. That's an
it should be like,
idea.
I would prefer something like that to be like a walking map.
So, yeah,
you
right.
know, this
yeah.
street and then,
right.
you know, the next street. And
very good, yes.
Yeah, makes
rather than
sense.
By architects and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
By location. That's a very good idea.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, the last one is down on Thatcher, but then at the front you've got... right
at the beginning almost, you've got Edgewood and Auburn, you've got a couple of Ashlands to start out with, Auburn, and you go back down to Bray.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, you do think of it as a walking tour.
But,
I would, you know, if you're, you know,
it's
a map like that.
Yeah. But people may use it as that, a walking tour.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments about the preservation map? Okay. Other business.
Oh dear.
Is there other business?
It would just be a next meeting date. So the next regularly scheduled meeting, this one did get pushed back, but the next regularly scheduled meeting would be Thursday, June 22nd. Now, I'm not sure how you want to proceed scheduling, if you want to try to get back on that regular schedule or however, but as always, we can be flexible. I don't know what people's availability looks like.
Yeah, I would think, personally, getting back to the regular schedule would make some sense. The one thing that I had in terms of other business is that normally in May we talk about awards.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any submissions?
We do. So we have two submissions. They're not included in this packet because they were officially due after it was disseminated, but they will be in the next meeting's packet for consideration. There's two applicants. One from 146 Keystone and the other from 558 Franklin.
Okay.
Oh, yes. That gets an award.
And as part of that process, John, could you just include within the packet the lists of the descriptions of the various potential awards, so that to the extent that people think that it belongs in one rather than another category, we've got it all in front of us.
If I have other business, the 700 block of William have selected a lamppost to commemorate the design that did, and they asked me, they're going to start their fundraising, they asked me to talk to you, maybe I'll just email you the drawing of it that you can present to the village board, or how that works to get on a lamppost to replace an existing lamppost, just one at the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. Send that over to me. I'm not quite sure how we'll proceed with that, but we'll parse through that.
I know who to talk to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, okay. Absolutely. I'll make sure it gets to Eric's office and we handle that appropriately. And then I guess just the resident's contact information for whatever you have, or at least
I'll
a name that you've
I'll
been talking
the
to.
Contact, Mark,
yeah.
Mark Witt is the
oh, great. That's right. We talked to him before. So okay, perfect.
Okay.
Anything else from anyone?
If we're going to proceed on the 22nd, does it make sense? I mean, draft-wise, and you know what you're comfortable with, Michael, to proceed with.
Yeah, I mean, I my plan will be to jump on this. I
okay.
Can't do it tomorrow, but I'll definitely get to it either over the weekend, or start over the weekend, or Monday. And
okay.
I don't. You know, there's a lot of these are really well written, so I think it's to the point. It's more a matter of editing
mm-hmm.
kind of nature. Changes. So, I don't see any problem with having it just to give you a little leeway if I have it a week before the meeting.
Yeah.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, I usually try to at least get the packet technically by law has to go out 48 hours in advance of the meeting.
Yeah.
I try to give it to everybody on Friday at the very latest so that everybody has at least the room weekend to look at home.
Yeah,
you can
email it. You can email the draft so people have it before they even have the packet, right? So I'm just going to have it.
Yeah.
So, and if anybody has any comments they want to send me, they can do that, right? Do it for you. So feel free to do that.
Okay, so we're missing then Brian and David on the 22nd.
Yeah.
So do we not, I don't know what Tom's doing, but we would need Tom for a
quorum.
No, we wouldn't need Tom for a quorum. Quorum's four, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's a big end of the man,
right?
Yeah.
Probably want more people present.
Given his absence, if you would like me to try to schedule over an email, I'm happy to read that.
That works.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to note, the 29th is the weekend before, I think, when people are probably going to be celebrating the 4th of July, right? So,
yep.
So if we push it a week, I don't know if we'll be running into people else scheduled for
It also doesn't have to be a Thursday.
That's true.
That helps people.
Oh.
If it's not the whole week, but that month, or just that night. Or
yeah.
I'll piece that together.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Oh, I have one other question. This was, we talked about notifying the owners of the properties on the map to make sure that they had no objection about their homes being put on here.
Yeah, from my memory, that process was kind of tabled until we got to a further point. Happy to help with sending whatever letters or whatever we can do for that. And again, I defer to you guys on how you want to proceed with that. I think the other thing, too, from my memory that Chairman Zarowski noted, is that perhaps once we have some more formal draft that the commission is comfortable with taking to the village board, it might be an appropriate time to ask them for their insight on how they want to go about that process. But that's just kind of my memory off the top of my head from that conversation.
Yeah, I would think what we may want to do in terms of just sequence is we may want to send to the applicable owners, this is what we're thinking of doing, photograph, blurb, this is the purpose of it, would love to have your permission, period. And then once that's all signed off on, then take the net of that to the village board.
And the $50 donation, Dave.
Again, happy to help with whatever anybody decides on. Given that this draft is not complete, maybe that's something we revisit on the 22nd?
Yeah.
I just suggest that we give it thorough consideration, because if we're going to go to the owners of 30 houses, and especially if we start to use words like permission, we could just sort of be creating a whole bunch of headaches. It would be good from my standpoint to know if we need anybody's permission. And that's surely a question for someone like the village attorney, not for me to give a legal opinion on. But assuming that there's no legal issue, and I'd be blown away if there were, to me it's more of a question of giving folks
notice.
A heads up,
right.
at most.
Congratulations, you've been selected to be.
I only say that because once we start asking for permission, we start inviting people to deny us permission. And if we don't even think a denial of permission is a reasonable thing to do, it'd be like saying if I walk down your street every day and I said, hey, is it okay if I walk down your block? Well, I don't ask because you don't get to tell me. I guess all I'm saying is we should noodle on it a little bit.
Good point.
We don't want to piss a bunch of people off
right.
unnecessarily,
right.
But we also
don't
want
to work harder.
Kind of kick a bee's nest and then be pregnant with a bunch of objections. And
right.
I'll be happy to bring that back for the 22nd or whenever we end up meeting.
I can bring, Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Museum has a van. And part of it is Oak Park. Part of it is River Forest, and there are a lot of River Forest homes up there. And that map gets sold at $495 to whomever will buy it.
Mm.
So those homes are, and I wish I would have brought the map, because a lot of these homes are on that map.
Mm.
So,
maybe we should look at that map.
Yes, I think that. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, John, for getting this together. This is a great
thanks,
start.
John, yeah.
Well beyond a start. Pretty damn close.
Anything else? Do I hear a motion?
Motion
adjourn.
Adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.